Now joining us on the line from Affliction MMA, Tom Atencio. Big show coming up in, a little bit over 30 days? How's everything going?
It's going well. We just finalized the card, so I'm real excited. I think that it's another stacked card from top to bottom, and it's going to be another exciting event.
What made the final decision to go in the main event? Obviously, Fedor versus Andrei Arlovski. What made the final decision to go with Arlovski over Josh Barnett?
You know, at this point, he's basically the next in line. He was supposed to fight Barnett in the Las Vegas show, and Fedor obviously was hurt. Or I don't know if you knew or not, but
sure.
His hand was broken from the first fight. So, you know, as far as the American public goes, Arlovsky's got a bigger draw. Arlovski is well known here. Barnett, if you talk to people overseas in Japan, or you're talking to people, you know, in Korea or even in Europe, Barnett's well known there, and that's definitely the fight that everybody wants to see. So, you know, Barnett needs to beat Ivel in order to fight Fedor in the next one, or, you know, if Ivel beats Barnett, then the next fight will probably be Ivel versus Fedor. So, I'm assuming, you know, whoever wins the Fedor Arlovski. Arlovski has a great chance. So, you know, as far as the American public goes, though, Arlovski's better known here than actually even both of them.
For your pay-per-view expectations for the show, would they be higher than the first show?
You know, we're definitely hitting it harder. You never know. It's definitely, with the economy the way it is, it's definitely something that we have to combat, and it's definitely something that we're gonna have to work harder at than the last show. So, yeah, expectations for myself and my crew and you know, the guys, my partners in that, yeah, absolutely bigger. But you know, it's just a matter of putting high expectations on ourselves and making it happen.
And for the first show, we'd heard rumors about 100,000 buys. Is that the correct number?
We did over, yes.
Could you give us a number?
I don't give exact numbers, but I can give you, you know, estimates for sure. And it is well over 100,000.
Okay, congratulations then.
Thank you.
So what do you see as the long-term goal for Affliction?
Well, long-term is just to have a viable company, you know, a company that's here in 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. You know, somebody that gives the 800-pound gorilla a run for their money. And, you know, it's not that we ever set out to do that, but, you know, that's kind of the position that everybody has put us in. And you know, there's a lot of companies that went under, and I feel that, you know, in order to, you know, we need to step up to the plate. We need to be that alternative for the fighters and for the viewers.
Is there a certain number of shows you're hoping to do in 2009?
You know, right now we're looking at probably 4 events for 2009. That could change. The partnership with Golden Boy is definitely changing it. But right now, you know, for me, I just look at each event. I'm looking at this January show, and then once I get past the January show, I'll start working towards the next show after that, which should probably be anywhere from 4 months, 4 to 5 months, somewhere around that. And one show at a time.
You mentioned Golden Boy Promotions. Obviously, about 35 miles away, they're going to be having a pretty big show themselves with Antonio Margarito versus Shane Mosley. What are your thoughts on them having a show in the same city the same night?
You know, we spoke about that. We sat down and talked about that. And right now, we just don't see it affecting us too much. You know, the UFC counter-programmed us with a fight of the same night free on Spike when our first show happened. And it didn't really affect us that much. I don't see the boxing crowd at this point coming over as heavy as some people would like to think. And you know, I think there's not quite that crossover just yet. I'd like to change that. Hopefully I will one day. But, you know, I just don't see it being too much of a problem at all.
It's not a concern. I wouldn't think necessarily from an exact fan standpoint, but from like a media coverage standpoint and from getting the word out there, there can only be so many articles in the sports section. Now you're going to be competing for space a little bit with the boxing show.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, we will be competing a little bit. And that's, you know, it is what it is, and it's something we'll deal with. And you know, Golden Boy's our partner, and they're working just as hard as we are to make sure that both events are known. So it's a collaboration between the two of us, and hopefully we can make things work for everybody involved.
So would they be considered a co-sponsor for your event as well?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, as far as Golden Boy's obviously got the HBO contract, and I believe you're working with Showtime Pay-Per-View on doing the pay-per-view part of this show?
Correct.
What do you see as your current status of your own television negotiations? Are you trying to get on Showtime? Are you trying to pick up the pieces of that fallen Elite XC deal?
Well, right now we're just we're working, like I said, one event at a time, and that kind of works in every aspect. Yeah, I mean, we would love to get that network television. We'd love to do on Showtime. But right now, this is only our second show. I think people are losing track of that. We're coming off the momentum of the first show. We kind of stumbled a little with the Las Vegas thing, but now we're back and we're trying to work off that momentum. And once we get past this show, then if we can land a network deal or another type of deal in that aspect, in HBO or Showtime, then wonderful. But we're just working hard to make sure this show is successful.
How are the ticket sales doing early on?
Ticket sales are doing really well. I mean, they're really getting up there. We've got a lot of marketing. We've got a lot of people on board. A lot of people, not just with our retailers, but we've got a lot of people in different avenues, different sports, and that are helping out and that are on board and that want us to succeed. So I'm real happy with ticket sales, and I'm real happy with the people that are helping us.
And obviously, a couple of recent signings was Sokuju in order to fight Babalu. How did that fight come? How did that signing happen so quickly?
I contacted Dan Henderson. He's been he and I have a good relationship going on, and the minute I found out Sokuju was released, I just thought that would be a good fight. We were going to have the Lind versus Babalu fight, but the weight was a little bit of an issue for both guys, and we just I like to work with all these guys, and I want to make them happy. And the Sokuju came about, and I think it's a good fight.
Sure, I mean, he's definitely a very exciting fighter. Had a little trouble converting to the UFC, but I mean, his knockouts in Pride were just unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Dana White's also been walking around calling Anderson Silva the best pound for pound fighter in the world. He started doing that almost the same day that you started promoting and started bringing Fedor Emelianenko into the American public. What are your thoughts on Dana White calling Anderson Silva the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world and trying to make that almost a factual statement?
I think it's you can't deny that. I mean, the guy's a great fighter, but it goes for Fedor as well. You can't deny Fedor's record. You can't deny Fedor what he's done in the ring. I think it works for both guys, if he wants to say it. But you can't say Fedor is the best fighter in any weight class out there. In his weight division, absolutely. And the same works for Anderson. Anderson went up a weight class, and that's fine. Now he has to prove himself in that weight class, too, if that's what he's going to do. Is he a great fighter? Absolutely. Undeniable. So is George St. Pierre. So is BJ Penn. You can say these guys are the best fighters out there, but, is Anderson Silva going to fight Fedor? No. In their weight classes, 100%. If Anderson goes up, to heavyweight, and he goes through the 185s, the 205s, and then, the heavyweight division, then you can say he's the best fighter in the world. But, come on, we all know it's not going to happen.
Okay. Then the guy fighting Fedor Emelianenko, Andrei Arlovsky, he just fought on the CBS Elite XC show. How did that deal go down to get him on CBS?
It was just a collaboration. There was an opening, and we just kind of we jumped on it, and it worked out to our benefit. We got great exposure. We got all the commercials. We got the mat space. It was just a situation that opened up, and we jumped on it, and it worked out perfectly for us.
And it seemed like a lot of your ads centered around bringing out Fedor Emelianenko to the U.S. public. Was that one of the goals?
Absolutely. It was, Fedor is kind of an enigma to most Americans, and he's got that kind of Russian mystique about him, quiet and methodical and, just for lack of a better term, stone cold killer. Mm-hmm. We obviously know he's a fighter. He's the baddest man in the world. So I think that it's a great angle for us. And, there's a lot of people that don't know anything about him, but they know his record and they know that he comes out and he's got, a stoic look, and he comes in the same way he leaves. He leaves the same way he comes in. And so I think, you know, I think it's great. I think, you know, but I know him personally, and he's a great guy. He just happens to be unbelievably good at what he does. So I think, yeah, I think it's a great, you know, promotion for everybody involved.
And unfortunately for Elite XC, that was the last time they were on. They're going to be on the CBS network. What did you think of that whole controversy with Elite XC folding and the Seth Petruzzelli payoff, not payoff?
You know, I had nothing to do with that. I wasn't a part of it. I don't know what happened. You know, they could have said something. They could have set something up. I don't know. And for me to try to, you know, assume what happened is you know, it's I'm not going to be presumptuous. I'm just going to, you know, whatever the only people that really know what happened is Seth and whoever talked to him. Having said that, if they did set up, it's not good for the sport. You know, but the company went under, and you know they obviously did something wrong, and hopefully somebody, a good company, will step in and take over that spot and continue moving forward, because I think that prime time, our network television is good for the sport. I think that MMA needs it in order to move forward, and you know, hopefully things will work out.
And the guy who was the biggest draw on that CBS show was obviously Kimbo Slice. I know he may not be the best fighter in the world, but he's certainly a big draw. Is he someone you'd be interested in bringing over?
You know, at this point, no, I'm not. I'm not really looking at Kimbo. I think that his until he gets back into the into training and proves himself as a legitimate MMA fighter, I think he's a legitimate fighter. I don't take away anything from the fact that, you know, he stepped into the ring and he was willing to step in, fight anybody that they put in front of him, and he proved that. Is he a great MMA fighter? No, I think that that showed it that night. But, you know, for me, I'm never going to take away anything from somebody that steps into the ring. You know, it's easy to be a critic. It's easy to sit back and say, he should have done this, he should have done that, or, you know, whatever, criticize him for being who he is. But, you know, until you step into the ring, I personally don't think you have a right to criticize somebody. But that's just me.
I mean, that definitely sounds fair. How about some other people in Elite XC? I mean, I guess specifically the big draw, the other big draw would probably be Gino Carano. She brings female fighting possibly into the mainstream. What do you think about her, or possibly her fighting with Affliction?
You know, I think that Gina is a great fighter. I think she's proven herself time and time again. She's very composed. You watch her last fight, and the way she was just picking off shots and just throwing her high kicks, and just, I mean, she's a great, composed Muay Thai fighter. But having said that, you know, I think right now, if we were to bring her over, and, you know, I'm not really looking at that, but if we were, I think the only fight that's out there is her against Chris Cyborg. And I don't know how many other, you know, it's not like I've really looked into it, but I don't know how many other fights there are aside from that one. You know, and Cyborg is an incredible fighter. So, you know, I think that would be a great fight, and it would be a great draw, but then where do you go from there? Unless you have a rematch, or, you know, so for me, that whole thing is a little bit difficult.
Yeah, and likely what you'd have to do is you'd have to, you know, and my thought would be you'd have the main event, you have Carano and Cyborg, and then you'd have to have another female fight on the show to build up another fighter to fight the winner.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, then you go into a
slow. But the question is, who is that?
Right. Okay, and yeah, I mean, there's some good female fighters out there, but nobody that the American mainstream really knows right now besides those two.
Right, and in the same weight class, too.
That's right. Yeah. Another guy who's made, who's talked about fighting with Affliction, this guy you seem pretty close with off and on, is Tito Ortiz. He's also said he's been fighting with Elite XC. He just wants, it sounds like he wants to keep his name out there. Have you negotiated with him, and what are your thoughts on him possibly coming in?
Yeah, you know, I would love to have Tito on board. Right now, Tito's not even going to be available until, I think, July sometime. I think it's July. He just had back surgery. You know, I've become friends with Tito. I like him. I think he's a great guy. And, yeah, he definitely wants to fight. It's just a matter of finding a home for him, whether it's us or back to the UFC or, you know, whatever other organization is out there.
How about somebody like Ricardo Arona? I've heard that you might be interested in bringing him over.
Yeah, you know, I've always been interested in Arona. You know, there's a lot of people out there that I'm interested in. You know, it's just a matter of getting them, you know, Robbie Lawler, Paul Daly. You know, there's a lot of fighters out there that are available. It's just a matter of finding them a home, just like anything else. You know, whether Arona comes over is another question. I'm working with a lot of Brazilians, and you know, I've had nothing but great experiences so far. And, you know, there's a lot of Japanese fighters that I'd love to bring over. But once again, it's just a matter of this is our second show. So until we are into our third, fourth, fifth, you know, tenth show, it's really difficult for me to start bringing guys over because I don't really have enough shows in the works right now to place them, and I'm not the guy who's gonna you know, put these guys aside and say, hey, you can't do anything until I'm ready to fight you. You know, I want to be fair with these guys.
And on the last show, there was, you know, a lot of time spent promoting a potential fight between Randy Couture and Fedor Emelianenko. Are you disappointed with how it went down with Randy Couture returning to the UFC?
You know, I would be lying if I said I wasn't, but. You know, at the same time, he has a family to take care of, and he has to do what's right for him. So, you know, it is what it is, and they put him against an animal, and he lost. I thought he did a great job, but, you know, I mean, yeah, I would have loved to see the Fedor-Randy fight, and I know the American public would have wanted. I'm sorry, everybody wanted to see that fight, not just the American public. So, yeah, I mean, it is disappointing in that aspect. We all would have liked to have seen that fight. Could it happen? Yeah. Will it happen? I doubt it. You know, if negotiations came up and it was something that we could go through with, yeah, I would love, and I've said this before, I would love to help facilitate that. I just don't think it's going to happen.
And since we brought up Randy Couture, I got to ask you just your thoughts on what happened between Randy Couture's wife and Todd Beard.
You know, Todd's one of my best friends, and he's been a great friend. And, you know, what happened, and it's the past, and I'm just moving forward, as is he, and looking towards the future. And you know, I like to keep things positive, and I know so does he. So I think that's just the past.
Okay. And will Donald Trump be involved in the promotion of this event?
Yeah, Donald's involved, you know, at this aspect, and we're working together, and it's just a matter of, you know, how much. I'm sure he'll be there if time permits for him, but he's a busy man. And, you know, Don Jr. has been great, and he's very involved. And, you know, it's a good partnership as well.
Okay. Well, hey, I'd like to thank you for a few minutes of your time. Wish you the best of luck coming up in January. Big show, Andrei Arlovski versus Fedor Emelianenko for the WAMA Heavyweight Championship. Anything you'd like to quickly throw in there?
No, I just want to, you know, just make sure everybody knows about the Affliction Day of Reckoning, January 24th, live on pay-per-view. It'll be at the Honda Center. You know, we've got some great partners with M1 Global, which we work together with them on the global side. It's more of kind of like a farm system for us. They also, you know, they go worldwide, you know, Russia, Germany, Spain, et cetera, Japan. And, you know, it's a great partnership as well as a Golden Boy partnership. So, you know, thank you for having me on.
All right. Thank you very much, and talk to you soon.